All right, let's go. I'm going to read this couple of scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We got just a couple more weeks in our He's Been There series, and then we're going to move on to some other stuff. How many have enjoyed this series? How many gotten something out of this, man? I know we've been in this a while, but man, I think it's so important that we continually, as believers and followers of Jesus, continually look back to the example and the template that Jesus set for us in our lives. Amen, somebody? And so that's what we've been doing really for the last 6 or 7 weeks. But today we're going to talk about this. He's been there, Jesus and justice. Everybody say Jesus and justice. Hebrews 4:15, this high priest of ours, speaking of Jesus, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Let me talk about that word sin for just a second, because I know we talk about sin and we think about disobedience, we think about rebellion, and all of that is certainly a part of sin. But you know what? The Greek word in the New Testament, sin, is actually the Greek word hamartia, okay? And it simply means to miss the mark, okay? To miss the mark. So sometimes sin may not necessarily be some kind of gross rebellion or disobedience on my part. Sin could be just God says, this is where I want you to go, and I go just a little bit to the left or miss that standard that God sets. And what this tells us is that Jesus faced all of the same things that we do, yet he hit the target every time. He never missed the mark, and he shows us how we can do that as well. Amen, somebody? Okay? Because he's been there. Everybody say he's been there. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 41 is the last scripture I'm going to read, then we're going to pray. Matthew 5, 41, Jesus is speaking. This is one of his teachings, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this. He says, if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. Everybody say he's been there. I'll tell you, we're talking about Jesus and justice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now, we just come to you once again. God, I thank you for this group. I thank you for this house. I thank you for this family. I thank you for what you've called us to do. I thank you for the army that you are raising up here in Brookville and in Franklin County to reach, encourage, and disciple. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to do that, continue to grow and expand your kingdom inside of our hearts, Lord, as we expand your kingdom in the earth, God, as you have called us and empowered us to do. In Jesus' name, let this word come alive on the inside of us. God, let it absolutely explode and bring revelation to our lives and our souls today. In Jesus' name. Why don't you put your hands on your belly, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear. So I can do what you want me to do. And be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever heard this term? It's kind of a recent modern term. I don't think it existed before the last maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 years ago. How many of you have heard this term? Social justice warrior. Anybody ever heard of one of those? You're shaking your head? Nobody ever heard this? You've never heard this term before? Are you serious? Okay, so I guess I'll educate you then. I assumed we all. Social justice warriors are basically what you call people who live in their mom and dad's basement and they change the world with their strong opinions on social media, okay? That is primarily. And so this social justice warriors are a lot of the people that tell you what you can and can't say because this is offensive and that is offensive, and it's really unfortunately become a little bit of a joke. I'm genuinely surprised that the majority of you have not heard of that term before. I didn't expect it to go that way for this to be educational. I just wanted to make that joke. But here's the problem that we have. The pendulum in culture always swings from one extreme to another, and there's a graceful moment in the middle somewhere. But we had this great big swing that we've been dealing with over the last few years where we want to be nice to people. We don't want people to feel excluded. We want people to be able to be free and to be who they are and whatever else. And we can talk about how God has designed us and whatever, but at the end of the day, God gives us the freedom to either obey his commands or not, and that's between the individual and God. It is really not our job to dictate what other people are going to do with their lives. God, they will have to answer that before God one day. Amen, somebody? Okay? And so in this movement to not be mean and to not exclude and to make things equal and to make things fair. It's the pendulum always swings to the extreme, and you have it going so crazy that now you can't even, if you say anything that's deemed offensive at all, you can get canceled, or you can lose a job, or you can lose friends. And the people that are really on edge for that and on the front line for that, we're fighting for social justice, right? But it's become such a joke, and it's become so extreme that, and it's become such a nonsense word that it's almost like just like a joke. But here's the thing I want to get to. In spite of how the extreme might move or how we might feel or what a joke some of it might become, the reality is this: we need to understand that in the world that we live in, because we live in a broken, fallen, and sinful world, there is inequality and there is injustice and there is a certain amount of unfairness that we will live with and deal with and experience in this world. Amen, somebody? Amen? Okay? And so... Here's what I want to talk about. Listen, Jesus lived and ministered. Don't put that up yet. We're not there. The jury will disregard. Jesus lived and ministered in an atmosphere, in a climate, and in a place of extreme, what we would call social injustice, and even under oppression. Does that make sense? Okay. So the scripture I read, Matthew chapter 5, verse 41, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of Jesus' very first teachings, and probably it's like three or four chapters in Matthew, beginning in Matthew chapter 3 or 4, and then running all the way through a couple chapters. And it's Jesus giving, he's basically just laying out like, hey, this is the kingdom. This is what it's about. This is what I've come to teach. This is what I've come to establish. And he's given up all these things and laying down all these principles and guidelines of how to live for the kingdom and how to live in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And there's this one thing he says here. He says, if a Roman soldier tells you to carry his pack 1 mile, he goes, go ahead and carry it too. We read down, we're like, you know, you just kind of skim over that. Okay, I don't know what he's talking about. If you do a little digging, here's what you understand. Jesus is born in Jerusalem, in Israel, and he is an Israelite and a Jew. And at the time in history that Jesus is born, Israel is a subservient nation that has been conquered by the Roman Empire. And by the way, the Roman Empire basically ruled the whole world that we know of to that point. They were expanding the empire. Okay, so in the Roman system here, and in this was the custom, and this was the law actually, that if you were part of a conquered people group and a Roman soldier who had been assigned from some other part of the empire and was in your sphere, was walking along your road, a Roman soldier could force anyone who was not a Roman citizen but yet lived under their rule, he could force them to say, hey, I want you to carry my pack 1 mile. And you were forced by law, punishable probably by everything including death, if you tried to stand up and not do that. So you could be working, you could be doing, going about your day, all of a sudden a Roman soldier comes by and says, hey, punk, I need you to carry my pack, and you just had to do it, okay? So that's what Jesus is talking about. That is part of the system that Jesus lived in. And Jesus lived, was born, and ministered, and established the kingdom of God in the midst of an extremely oppressive and unequal and unjust government system that was ruling over the time and earth that Jesus lived in. Does that make sense? Okay? We're still not there. I will say that exactly when we get to that point. Jesus lived under a system that was incredibly unfair. Not only did Jesus live under a system of incredibly unfair government and political pressure and oppression, even amongst Jesus' own people, he faced injustice and being judged unfairly and unequally based on where he was, who he was, and where he was from. Do you remember the story in the Gospel of John when Jesus is calling the 12 disciples who would later become the 12 apostles, and he's calling each one of them out? There's a story when Jesus meets Philip. Philip runs to his brother Nathanael and says, Nathanael, you've got to come see. I'm pretty sure we found the Messiah. We found the guy we've been looking for. They had both been disciples and followers of John the Baptist. They were hungry and looking. They were screaming and crying out, God, show me your glory. And when they saw Jesus, their eyes were open and they said, oh, this is him. But when Philip goes to Nathanael's brother and says, hey, I really think we found him this time. We found who we were looking for. This is Nathanael's words. Nathanael says, Jesus of Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? So not only did Jesus live under an oppressive, unjust, and unequal political structure and government structure, even amongst his own people, Jesus was marginalized and looked at as maybe less than and looked at unequally simply based on who he was and where he was from. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Okay? Now listen, we live in a nation right now that is basically a 50-50 split on how you believe and how you vote and how you feel, right? Yes? Like, do you remember back in the day, like 10, 15 years ago, you would know the night of an election who pretty much won. And now it's like every election takes 2-3 weeks to figure it out. Why? Because that's how close the margin is. The margin is so close that you have to count every single vote. There's no room for it. That's why? Because we're incredibly split. And what that means, when you're basically looking at a 50-50 split, that basically means this, that 50% of the people, 50% of the time, depending on who got voted in this time and who got voted out last time, 50% of the people feel like they're being treated unfairly and they're oppressed by their government. And the other 50%, right? Come on, somebody. So, if you voted for Trump, when Trump was in office, you felt like, hey, man, we're on top. We got the guy we wanted in there. And when he got voted out and Biden's in office, now you might, if you're a Trump supporter, you might feel like, oh, man, now I'm being oppressed by Biden. And for the other time, if you voted for Hillary or whatever, the name blanked. If you didn't vote for Trump, you felt like you were oppressed for 4 years, and now it's flip-flop, and you're like, okay, listen, here's the thing, and that we can, I'm not here to tell you whether or not that's real, imagined, if we need to get over it and put our big boy pants on and quit crying about, or I'm not going to do all that today. Here's the deal, whether that's real oppression, imagined oppression, whether you're a victim of real social injustice, whether you really are on the margins, whether you really are victimized, and that does exist, and there are people in there, you might say, or you might be saying, hey, I don't really feel that way. I don't feel like I'm oppressed by my government. I don't feel like I am treated unfairly or what. Here's the thing, some of you might genuinely be a victim of that. Amen? Some of us might think that we're a victim of that. Even if you don't, on the fence, and we're all, here's the deal, all of us have a sense of justice on the inside of us. And this is one thing I've seen over and over again in my life. As I follow Jesus, and as I know Jesus more, and I continually look to this scripture to be my guide and try to apply the principles of kingdom living to my life here on earth, I find this truth out all the time, Paige. I find that often the kingdom will offend my own sense of justice and rightness on the inside of me. Amen, somebody? For me to say, well, I'm forgiven no matter what I've done, that is actually offensive to a sense of righteousness and justice that we all have created in us by God. And yet, if I'm going to receive forgiveness and receive a relationship with Jesus, I've got to allow my own sense of justice to be offended, or else I'm going to miss out on what God wants me to do. So we've got to wrestle. We've got to understand. And I think it's important for us to see how Jesus dealt with justice, whether it's real injustice in the world or whether it's justice in our own soul that we've got to get over and figure out. Jesus dealt with justice. Here's what we can understand. Listen to this. Jesus lived according to the kingdom. Do it now. Okay, now I'm saying it. Jesus, I'm saying the thing. I'm only doing that because it's my daughter back there today. I probably wouldn't do that if it was anybody else. Jesus lived according to the kingdom of heaven, listen, in the midst of an unjust kingdom on earth. Okay, Jesus, that would have been so much better if you hadn't seen it two times before. You'd have been like, oh, man. No. Jesus lived according to the kingdom of heaven in the midst of an unjust kingdom here on earth, okay? Jesus challenged the religious systems and the political powers that existed when he came into authority and when he began to minister on the earth. Under the Roman government system, they had what was called a Caesar, who was basically an empire or an emperor who ruled the empire, okay? One of the titles given to the Caesar at that time, or the emperor, you know what the Romans would call the emperor? And I'm not going to try to say the Greek, but it translates to this. And we think it was only about, they called him so Jesus was born under the time of Augustus, who I believe was a grandchild of Julius Caesar. I might have that off by a couple generations. But they called him this. They said Caesar, son of the gods. See, we talk a lot about how Jesus challenged the religious structure and the Pharisees and the Jewish structure and how he was preaching something different and how they offended them. But you got to understand, Jesus also challenged the unjust system that had been oppressing this people for a long time, because they called Caesar, their ruler, the emperor, son of the gods, and yet Jesus comes along and declares, I'm the son of God. And I'm giving you something else to say and giving you someone else to follow and someone else to be loyal to and someone else to worship. Amen, somebody? And he does that in the middle. The reason I shared that text earlier is because it points to and shows us the type of climate that Jesus lived in, ministered in, and showed us what to do. And here's, I think there are two things here that are really powerful that Jesus shows us what to do when we face injustice and when we face inequality and when we think we're being treated unfairly, or when we think, you know, we are being oppressed by the government or whatever else. There's a couple things Jesus tells us to do. Listen to this. The first thing is this. He says this. If a Roman soldier unfairly, unjustly tells you to carry his pack 1 mile, Jesus says, you know what? Carry it too. Everybody say, carry it too. Say it again, carry it too. Say it one more time, carry it too. Now, I think it's really important to point out what Jesus doesn't say here. This is going to be a weird message today, so just buckle up with me. I think it's really important to see that Jesus nowhere tells us, he doesn't say, if a Roman soldier in the middle of your day interrupts you and unfairly tells you to carry his pack 1 mile, he doesn't say, stand up and fight for your rights. He doesn't say, take to the streets and start talking about how unfair it is. He doesn't say, start a riot. He doesn't say, stand up to that Roman soldier and tell him that this isn't fair and this isn't right and I will not be pushed around anymore. He doesn't say any of that. What he says is, if an unfair and unjust oppressor tells you to do something, he says, why don't you do even more than he asks you to do? You know what he says to do? He says, instead of fighting the oppressive power over you, why don't you serve it for a minute and see what happens? Now that is so foreign, and I'm telling you right now, I'm preaching that to you, and I'm struggling in my own soul, wrestling out how that can't possibly be what Jesus tells us to do. I mean, we're Americans. We have been given certain inalienable rights by our Creator. It's only going to get worse, so you might, I'm telling you, Just ride along with me for a minute. He says, serve the thing that is treating you unjustly. I think that's so powerful. I think it's what he's encouraging us to do. Because I think what happens is, what Jesus is trying to get get us to understand is that by serving the thing that's trying to exert power over us, you will actually end up taking the power from it. Instead of getting all tense and fighting, is it unfair? Absolutely. Is it right? Absolutely not. Should anybody be subject to that type of subjugation and treatment? Of course not. But Jesus says, if you want to figure this thing out, see, here's what the kingdom of heaven flips all of our natural inclinations on their head very often. And I think what Jesus is saying is, listen, if you serve the thing, when you serve the thing that's exerting power over you, you're going to not only take power from it, okay? I mean, can you imagine the scratching of the head of the Roman soldier who was trying to be a jerk that day and said, hey, here's one of our subjects. Here's one of the people that we can just step on, some little peons. Here, punk, take this pack. And you say, okay, I got you, man. No problem. But I'm going to take it another mile for you. That's powerful. And not only is it going to strip the power of the people treating them unjustly, it will also release the power of heaven into my life because I'm surrendering to the kingdom. Amen, somebody? God's power is released not in me exerting and fighting in my strength. God's power is released only when I surrender and lay down my strength. And I just wonder if we have not been so caught up trying to fight for what's ours in our own strength and in our own flesh that we might be missing some areas where God's power wants to be released, but it can't because I'm in the way. And instead of surrendering and doing what I don't want to do, I'm fighting for what I think I shouldn't. Come on, somebody. Jesus, what did, carry it to. See what happens. Carry it to. Then he says this, I didn't read this part, but just a couple verses later, verse 43 of the same chapter, he says, you have heard the law. It's not going to be on the screen. He says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. What's the other thing Jesus says to you? He says, carry it too. And then he says, pray for the oppressor. Pray for the unjust. See how that's all connected right there? Pray for the people treating you unfairly. Pray for the people that are taking your rights away. Pray, and in fact, don't just pray for them. Find a way in your heart to love your enemies. To love your enemies. Now, to the Jewish person that hears this, their enemy is instantly Rome. Their enemy is instantly Caesar. Their enemy is instantly the oppressive government that has taken over their nation. And Jesus doesn't say fight them, doesn't say hate them. He says find a way to love them and pray for them. Now, can you just imagine? Can you imagine the kind of climate that could be created if just God's people, the church, if just the sons and daughters of the kingdom decided, you know what? As much as I may not agree, and as much as it may be unfair, and as much as I may feel like I'm being given the shaft, and as much as I may feel like I'm being mistreated, and as much as I feel like this, I'm going to serve anyway the leaders that are in place. Come on, somebody. I'm going to refuse to fight with you. I'm going to refuse to hate you. I'm going to refuse to be. I'm going to find a way. Is it easy? Probably not. But Jesus said, this is the way. Amen? And he's been there. He lived it. Do you know why Jesus was born in a barn and not at home? Because the oppressive Roman government said, hey, everybody go to their hometown to be counted for a census. Do you know why the census was really important? Because the census is how they got taxes, okay? Do you know why the Roman Empire, one of the main reasons the Roman Empire had to conquer so much of the world is because the Roman people were the elite class, here's the thing, in the Roman Empire, the 3% that lived in Rome that were Roman citizens lived off of the other 97%. And the reason they had to keep building the empire and conquering lands and taking those taxations and taking is because they had to live off of the 97% of the people in the world they had conquered so that the 3% could continue to live in lavish luxury. Come on, somebody. Okay? Jesus lives in that. The reason Joseph had to take Mary across the state and take a donkey trip with his pregnant wife to the little bitty town of Bethlehem, and that's when Jesus was born. Not only did, of course, it fulfilled prophetic prophecy and all of that, but the political reason was because the oppressive ruler said, hey, everybody leave whatever they're doing and show up here, and they had to do it. So Jesus is born in that, and this is the instruction that Jesus tells us. Carry it to. Do more than what is required of you. Serve the thing that is trying to disservice you and watch God's power get released. Pray for them. Love them. You guys still with me this morning? Let me say this real clearly. Jesus is not a way to claim power on earth. Rather, Jesus offers us a way to live outside of the powers of the earth. If you came to church, or if you became a Christian, or if you became a follower of Jesus because you thought that somehow that was going to give you a path to success or a path to power or a path to anything on earth, listen, friend, we have gotten the Christian message wrong. Jesus is not a set of principles and a way for us to take over the political systems of the earth. Jesus shows us a way to live outside of every political system on earth, whether they're good, bad, indifferent, or somewhere in between. Jesus shows us a way to not need to rely on the systems of this earth. He gives us a path to live beyond the powers and the systems of this earth. Come on, somebody, so that it doesn't matter who's in charge, whether they're a good ruler, bad ruler, unjust ruler, great ruler, whatever. Listen, Jesus gives us a path to live beyond that and a purpose above all of that. Come on, somebody. And this is what you need to understand. Again, nowhere in here. Is this okay today?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the big reasons and one of the big points of contention that Jesus had with his own people, the Jews, and especially the Pharisees, is because they were waiting for the words of the Old Testament Moses prophet to be fulfilled that would said that one day there would be a rescuer, a deliverer would come to you, and he will tear down the nations and the kingdoms of this world, and he will put you back in charge, God's holy people. And so the whole time, for thousands of years, the people of Israel, Jewish people, are believing that, teaching that, and they're waiting for a political ruler to show up and set them free from their oppressors on earth. And they missed Jesus because what they didn't understand was that, yes, in the Old Testament, God established Israel as his holy kingdom and established a kingdom on earth, and the plan was to establish a kingdom on earth that would eventually infiltrate their hearts. In the New Testament, Jesus said, no, we're not going to do it that way anymore. We're going to first establish the kingdom in your heart, and eventually that kingdom will be set up on earth. Okay? That's what the book of Revelation is about. So Jesus shows up and he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the one that's been promised. He is the one they've been waiting for. But he came talking about setting up the kingdom of God in your heart. And they were looking for him to set up a kingdom on earth and set them free from their unfair and unjust oppressors. Does that make sense? And so it was difficult for them to grasp or to see Jesus for who he was. Because here's what we need to understand. In this day and age, when we might get mad, you might say, well, hey, this is unfair, and let's overthrow, let's take it over. Listen, the throne that God wants me to destroy is the one that I sit on inside of my heart. And in this scripture, in all the New Testament, the only throne, the only ruler that he has ever told you and I to overthrow or to get rid of is the one that rules inside of my own soul, and that is me, okay? And keeping that king dead is a full-time job, okay? Keeping that king from keeping Justin Bradley from taking over his own life again and managing his own affairs again and doing it his way again, that takes more energy than I could possibly fathom, and that is the only kingdom that I have the room and the capacity to overthrow is the one that lives right inside of here. Come on, somebody. And we can get so caught up, and going, well, this isn't right, and that's not right. We got to fix this, and this government, and this nation, and this and that war, and this thing, and this president, and this senator, and this one, and this one. And yes, it's all madness, and it's all crazy, and it's all jacked up. But listen, that is not the kingdom that God has called you and I to build. It starts right here in the throne of my heart. Amen? Jesus has never, ever, ever in the history of the New Testament or today, called you and I to build a political system on earth. The political system God wants to establish his kingdom is inside of our hearts, okay? So, okay, well, what about when the government is unfair? Where do we rebel? When do we stand up for ourselves? When do we stand up for what's right? When do we stand up for these things? Listen, these are questions that we're not going to have time to get to an answer necessarily to today. Probably not one that's going to satisfy us. But here's what I will say, and this is what we look at when we look at the New Testament. We look at the Book of Acts. We look at the Scriptures. Listen, we rebel when God and the government collide. Okay? But what I mean is this. Let's look at the New Testament. Let's look at the Book of Acts. The apostles were brought many times before both religious leaders and political leaders and were told, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Okay? Now, you know what they did? They just kept preaching Jesus. Okay? Does that make sense? They just said, oh, okay, whatever. And when they got out, they just started preaching Jesus again. They might go back to jail, get whipped, get beaten, get flogged, get thrown in prison. So whatever, I'm going to go ahead and keep preaching Jesus again. Come on, somebody. You know what you never saw any of the apostles do? You never saw any of them run for office. Now hear me. I'm not saying that God and faith has no place. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to remember what our primary mission is. Come on, somebody. And our primary mission as citizens of the kingdom before we're citizens of the earth is reaching, encouraging, and discipling. It's preaching the gospel to all nations. That should be what we are primarily focused on. Our secondary focus may be instilling righteous government in office, but I can never let that take the place of the primary mission that Jesus has established for his people. Come on, somebody. So nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere in the Book of Acts, did you see Peter say, "You know what? I think I'm just going to run for office. Maybe, hey, let's just get a riot and a rebellion going, and we'll put one of our guys on the throne of the Caesar, and then he can pass a bunch of laws to make it easy for us to do." No, they just said, "Hey, you have your law. That's fine. We're going to keep doing what God called us to do, and we'll just deal with whatever consequences come. But I'm going to keep the mission, God's mission, my mission. That's going to be the main thing." That's going to be what we do. Amen? See, you can rebel and just do what God called you to do. And sure, there may be some unjust, unfair circumstances and consequences. We just keep doing what God told us to do anyway. Come on, somebody. That's the type of revolt and revolution and rebellion that God calls us to. Come on, somebody. I know this is hard. I know this is hard. It's hard for me to hear it. It's hard for me to say it. It's hard for me to read the word, but I can't get away from this idea. A Roman soldier unfairly tells you to carry a pack 1 mile. Carry it 2. That's crazy. I'm gonna close on this. This is the last thing I want to encourage us. I know this. It's weird. Sometimes up here, it's like I can feel like gears grinding. Like, what does this mean? What happens if you start carrying this thread out? I know. I'm asking myself those questions. Join the Facebook group this week. We got some questions to talk about. Here's what I want to encourage us with. You remember the Easter story? Jesus is on trial before Pilate. Pilate doesn't want to take responsibility for dealing with Jesus. And all of the Gospels tell the story that Pilate brings 2 men out before the crowd. You know what I'm talking about? See, at the same time Jesus was arrested a few weeks before that, there was another Jewish gentleman who was a more political leader that was arrested, and his name was Barabbas. If you read in some of it, we don't know a lot about Barabbas, but we do know, I believe it's the Gospel of John specifically says that Barabbas was in prison and was facing execution because he led a revolution and a rebellion against the Roman authorities that led to some Roman citizens and Roman soldiers being killed and being murdered. Both Barabbas and Jesus were calling for an overthrow of the powers that had been established. One was doing it by earthly means, physical means, violent means. One was doing it by kingdom means and kingdom laws and kingdom principles and had been anointed to do it. And when Pilate parades both Jesus and Barabbas out to the crowd and says, "Who do you want me to release to you?" The crowd called for Barabbas. This is the challenge that I feel like the Lord wants to give to us. I know it's been to me. Is this. In the midst of things that can feel unfair, in the midst of oppressive situations, and if you may be a product of that, you may be a victim of that. Listen, here's the challenge. You guys can come on up. Don't be so desperate for justice that you set Barabbas free while screaming, "Crucify him." If you're just on the ground and you're living under this type of unfair, unjust, government oppressive thing, and you are desperate for freedom, you are desperate to be made whole, you are desperate to be set free, it would make sense that the guy who is on the ground getting his hands dirty, doing the work that nobody else wants to do, saying the things that no one else will say, getting out there, putting boots on the ground, it would make sense that that looks like the guy. That should be the one we want. Because we want freedom. We want to be set free in justice. And at the same time, you have Jesus. Meek in spirit. Riding on a donkey. Saying, "Pray for your enemies. Love those that persecute you. Don't just carry it 1 mile, carry it 2. And on and on and on again. That is so wild to our sense of justice and what's right and what's fair. And yet Barabbas, though he may look the part, it may say all the right things, it may look like he's doing it, He doesn't really have the power to actually set you free. Because here's the problem. Every time a rebellion takes place, you know what? Almost every time in history that revolution and rebellion has taken place and overthrown a government, guess what? Today's rebellion usually becomes tomorrow's oppressive regime. Today's freedom fighter usually becomes tomorrow's dictator, because they're just a man. They're just a person. And power, absolute power, will corrupt you absolutely. Come on, somebody. There has never been a right way or a fair way. There is all, and that is the way. So Jesus says, listen, I know that you're treated unfairly. I know that you're marginalized. I know that you're victimized. I know that it's unequal. I know that it's not socially okay. I know that it's unjust. He says, but listen, I can show you a way to find freedom that starts within your heart. And it doesn't matter what any of these things are going outside. You can know who you are, and you can have freedom in your soul and have a power released in your life. Power from heaven that there's no power on earth that can give you or take it away. Come on, somebody. And I want to beg, stay on the elevator of this place. Let's just, again, here we are again. I feel like we've been here every week in this series. I'm going to tell you, you can make your own, you can be on, you can see how you are. That's fine. That's when you and the Lord. Let me tell you something. I'm almost positive that short of an absolute work of God in my life, if I was alive during this time, I'd have probably been saying, give me Barabbas. Because it just makes sense. Many of us, I bet if we're honest, we would be in that same crowd. And when offered the choice between the one who has done some dirty work and really tried to make something happen and the one that said, hey, pray for your enemies and love those that persecute you. Give me the guy that's making some noise. Give me the guy that's getting it done. And we could do that. And we could miss the real kingdom that God had in store for us. So I want to challenge us, and I'm challenging myself. I'm looking at the mirror. I'm looking at that camera, but I'm not looking at you on the camera because I can see myself, and I'm talking to me. Don't be so desperate. Change in any, I don't care, this principle can apply. I know we've talked a lot about government, so this principle can apply to anything. Don't be so desperate for what looks and feels right that we crucify Jesus and say, give me Barabbas. Amen. Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now, and I ask you to start right here with Justin Bradley. Start right here in my heart. If there's any area in my life that I'm shouting, give me a Barabbas, instead of give me Jesus, I ask you to show me right now. In any area of my life, in any area of my life where I'm choosing what looks right and what looks just, and I'm missing the actual kingdom that you have in store for me, the actual kingdom that you have for us to live in and be a part of, Holy Spirit, I ask you to show me, convict me, and then Lord, I pray that you give us the strength. Give us the strength to cry out for Jesus instead. God, we need you more than we need Barabbas. We need you, God, we need you more than we need anything else. Lord, I pray that you will focus us on your mission, on your calling, on your anointing, and upon your purpose beyond any other thing that this world has to offer. Let us do those things, God, that release the power of the kingdom of heaven in our lives. And are not just grounded in our own earthly strength. Give us Jesus. Give us Jesus. Come on, I dare you to say that right now. Say, give me Jesus. Come on, give me Jesus. We want you. We want your way. We want your way, not our way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that are surrendered to your way and not our way. God, to your way and not just what looks and feels like it makes sense in the moment. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stretch your hands this way. I'm just going to leave this like this. I know this is a little different. I know it's a little bit kind of leaving on maybe some stuff to chew on today. Sometimes that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. If you need prayer in any area of your life, there will be people ready to pray with you. I don't care if it applies to this message or you got a surgery coming up and you want someone to greet you in prayer, whatever's going on. There will be people right here to my left, your right, on that side of the stage to pray. Receive this blessing from the Lord right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name.
Show us your glory.